But 1 Kings chapter number 3, we're going to start right there. And Proverbs is called the wisdom book of the Bible. And the theme, you could just say, how to live. I remember I was dropping a man off after church one day. He did not have a car. And I dropped him off. He had lived a life of drugs. He had been in jail more than half of his life. And he told me with tears in his eyes when I dropped him off, he said something like this, "Pastor, can you teach me how to live?" He said, "I don't even know how to live outside of prison." He said, "I've stolen and done drugs my whole life. I don't even know how to live." And so the book of Proverbs is just a basic book on how to live life. And so I'm excited about it. So let's look down, please, in 1 Kings chapter 3. And there is a Bible study sheet. We will cover it tonight. We'll have a PowerPoint to shoot up all the Proverbs verses. But notice in 1 Kings 3, it all starts with Solomon, the human author of Proverbs. 1 Kings 3 and verse 1, "And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, king of Egypt." And skip down to verse 3, "And Solomon loved the Lord." Now, who is saying that? You help me. Is Solomon saying, "I love the Lord"? Or is God saying, "Solomon loved the Lord"? How many of you think it's Solomon saying, "I loved the Lord"? Okay, well, really, it all applies. Verse 3, God is writing, "And Solomon loved the Lord." Isn't that amazing? And when God says, "That guy down there really loves me," that's great. What a great statement. And verse number 3, "Walking in the statutes of David, his father." In other words, he loved the Bible. Verse 4, "And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." So here he is. He's not just a citizen of Israel. This is the king. And so anytime the king went out, people watched what he was doing. He offered, like sheep or oxen or whatever animal it was, 1,000 different animals on that one altar. Now, I don't think he did it all in one day. If he did one a week, that would have taken him, oh man, one a week, 50. That would have taken him 20 years. If he did five a week, it would have taken him, what, 4 years. But he was a giver. So it wasn't just a crown on his head and "I'm David's son." The Lord meant a lot to Solomon. God says, "That guy loves me." But it's interesting. He loved him and he gave to the Lord. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. I was in church one time and I said something like this. I said, "You know how you spell love? G-I-V-E. And one kid says, He thought the pastor couldn't spell or something. But notice, so he is giving. Now, in verse 5, notice this. He's given 1,000 offerings to the Lord. He loves the Lord. In verse 5, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.'" God is not a genie, but it could have been like this. You could say it maybe slang-wise. God says, "I'll give you one wish." What would you wish for? Don't answer out loud, but if God says, "You get one wish," would you have to say, "Let me sleep on that"? Solomon didn't even flinch. It just came out of his heart and out of his mouth. "Here's what I want." For some, it would be riches. For some, it would be, "I want to be one of the most famous people in the world." You know, it's interesting. People spend their whole lifetime getting famous, then they disguise themselves and wear sunshades so no one recognizes them. Remember when Michael Jordan, he does something, I forget, he's a race car driver or something. I don't know what he did, but Michael Jordan came to Sassoon and wanted to bring his kids to Scandia. Well, he had to notify Scandia that had shut down the whole place so no one else could be there. And just Michael Jordan, his wife, and his kids had all of Scandia to themselves. but they couldn't be around anybody else or they wouldn't get to do anything. You know, that's a sad thing. Sometimes fame is sad. That's, oh, okay, let's keep going here. Someone says, man, I was there too, and I saw Michael Jordan. But notice what he says in verse 6. And Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. Thou hast kept for him this great kindness. Thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor accounted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people. Or you could say, he said, Lord, I'm going to be making decisions. Give me wisdom. That's what he asked for. Verse number 10. And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked thyself for understanding to discern judgment. Because you've asked for this, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. That's why we say he was the wisest man that ever lived. No one before him, no one after him would ever be this wise. And notice the bonus. I have also given thee that which thou didst not ask, both riches and honor. You know, it's amazing. If you were to say, what would Solomon's life's verse have been if one verse was his life? Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So here's Solomon. Lord, give me wisdom so I can help all these people. God says, boy, I like that. Now, I'm going to give you wisdom, but guess what? You get the bonus too. What is it sometimes on the game shows? Oh, now you get the bonus. And you get this door and this door. And look what else you get with the vacation. And so that's what he had. I love this. You say, well, could you ever see this in his life? We're not going to go through it. Many of you know his life. Next thing we know, these two women who are living together, they both had children. One of them died. They're fussing back and forth. This child's mine, this child's mine, this one's mine. They came to Solomon. She said, she took my child. No, that's my child. They were arguing. He said, all right, hold up the baby by the leg. Give me a sword. Come here, soldier. Cut the baby in half. And all of a sudden, one woman said, no, it's her child. Let her have it. Solomon said, that's the mother. And word got out how wise he was. Soon people came to ask him questions, to solve their problems, to help them with their lives. The Queen of Sheba actually traveled hundreds of miles just to come to hear and see his wisdom. And then God told him to build the great temple, Solomon's temple, we call it. 7 years in building just that one temple. Thousands of workers. A wise man. You know, God needs some more wise men and wise women and wise teenagers in our world today. I wish we had one in the White House. I wish we had one as Speaker of the House. I wish we had all of them in the Senate and all of them in the Supreme Court and all of them in the House of Representatives. And I wish we had one in our governor's mansion in our state. Wise people that would just know what to do. And so we see here, it was Solomon. The author, in your notes here, God used Solomon. He hungered for wisdom to lead. The theme of the book of Proverbs is to see before. To see before. Let me ever ask you. Those of you who've driven, have you ever maybe before we had Google on the phone, when you either had to have a map or someone would say, you'd stop and say, excuse me, can you tell me where the Brown family lives? Well, you got to go down there and take a left at the barn. Then you take a right. Sam's house that burnt down. No, I don't know Sam. Well, anyway, the house isn't there anymore. But you take a right there and cut, and you take directions. But if you've ever gotten off the freeway and you knew, I have taken a wrong turn late at night, and now it's a sketchy neighborhood. I mean, it's 10, 11 at night, and all these men are outside. It's like, what's going on here? And you're wondering, is this a dead end? Are they going to block me in here? Who's ever been in a situation a little bit like that? It's like, where am I? I think I'm in the wrong neighborhood. This is dangerous. You kind of wish you'd have known before you turned down that street if it's a through street or not. Well, the book of Proverbs is like this. All these subjects are mentioned. Finances, marriage, relationships, friendships, all these different things. Relationship with the Lord, priorities, the lazy guy, the hard worker. And God says, let me show you where all these paths end up. The book of Proverbs says, let me take you down each of these paths, show you where it ends. Now, come all the way back here, and you decide which paths you want to go down. What a great book. We don't have to learn by experience. We don't have to hit the dead ends. We don't have to, quote, end up in the sketchy neighborhoods in our lives. All we have to do is bathe in Proverbs, so it says, here's how this turns out. Here's how this turns out. We don't have to go by emotions. We can make wise decisions. So that's proverbum. Proverbum. Basically, the theme is you just see it before. You see it before it happens. So let's keep going here in the notes. Next, it contains short, pithy sayings. That's why Proverbs were such an important book. It was easily remembered verses. Who's ever eaten Chinese food? You open up those little things. Those things don't taste good, those fortune cookies. I don't eat them. Fortune cookie eaters here? Really? You like them? They're terrible. And you break it open. And sometimes there are even Bible verses. A wise man will limit his words. That's not Confucius. That's Proverbs. That's Solomon. And sometimes it will say, you good man. Someone sent me one of these memes the other day. And what was it? It was something about COVID. Somebody sent me that. And you open it up. Anybody remember what it said? Anyway, forget it. But it was just a fortune cookie. It was, I'll remember it later. Anyway, but there it is right there. It contains just these short, little, easily passed down sayings. Double-barreled wisdom. Now, take your Bibles. We're in Proverbs now. Let's look over here. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. We're about to get into it. Here we go. Proverbs 4. And notice, So Solomon gets this wisdom. He's going to use it to rule the kingdom. Maybe we could use wisdom. Hey, Pastor, I need to have this heart surgery, but the doctor said if it doesn't take, I could die on the operating table. What do you think? People are going to come to you with questions about life, about decisions. We need to have wisdom, not just shoot from the hip and give an opinion. We want to have something from the Word of God. We want to have some principle to share with people because we're leaders. And in the troubled world in which we have, more and more people are going to come to us saying, what do we do? How's this going to turn out? What do you think about this? And on and on it goes. Proverbs 4, look down please in verse number 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. That's a command. God says, get it. And it's the only thing in the Bible God says, this is the principal thing. This is the main thing. So that ought to be the goal of our life. The goal of every day, Today, I need to learn something that's going to make me wise. Because my family needs me to be wise. Lost people need me to be wise. People that are counting on me need me to be wise. Someone's going to need guidance. I need to make wise decisions. And so there it is. What a command. What a great command. So much of this book, you will hear this phrase, my son. My son. So physically, who is Solomon writing the book of Proverbs to? His son Rehoboam. Rehoboam. So the setting, and it all applies to us, but the setting is like this. It's like Solomon is sitting in his living room and his son's sitting around the fireplace and everyone's going to bed and he says, son, let me teach you a little bit about life. Tonight we're going to talk about the right crowd. And then he shares wisdom, God's wisdom on how to choose friends. And then the next night they're talking about how not to be lazy, how to be someone with initiative. And that's part of the book of Proverbs. So that's why you hear that a lot, my son. Now stop here for a second, and we'll go through the four people in Proverbs. If you're going to teach someone, especially one of your own, you've got to have a close relationship. You didn't hear him say, hey, boy. Hey, dummy. No, my son. My son. And you even see that in Paul in the New Testament. He'll say, Timothy, my son in the faith. Paul and Timothy were close. Paul had his heart. Paul had his ear. He was listening. And so part of a parent and even a grandparent's responsibility is to cultivate and work at having the heart of your child. So they're open. You could be the wisest person in the world, pour out all this great information, but if they're not receiving it, it's just like water off of a duck's back. How many of you would say at some time a wise person tried to tell you something and you didn't take it in? I could say that was me. And sometimes it was us, and sometimes it was, there was no closeness to start off with. Well, I told them what to do. I know, but did you have any? Was there a relationship there? And so you'll see that a lot through the book of Proverbs. You say, why was Solomon trying to teach his son all these things? Now think for a moment. Solomon is what? What's his job in the government? What is he? The king. So when he dies, who's going to be the next king? His son. So he's got the baton in his hand. He says, son, I don't know when I'm going to be gone, but when I am, you're running the kingdom, Israel, millions of people. You got to know these things. And so we as parents have got to be urgent. When the kids are old enough to leave home, they've got to be prepared. Young people that surrender to the mission field, they'll have these courses. How long? 6 weeks. Some type of mission school, and it'll be here's how you build a house, or here's some skills, and here's how you try to here's how to pick a location, and they're trying to give them everything they can before they're gone. So life is preparation. So let's notice there are four characters mentioned in the book of Proverbs, four basic characters, not by name, not like George and Cephas or something, but four types of people mentioned, and four types of people that you and I will be dealing with in life. Everyone we know will fall into one of these categories. And so here we are. Let's notice tonight, just in your notes, not the verses yet, but the first one is simple. Simple. Notice, please, in Proverbs chapter 1, here's the purpose of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, it says, verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. Here's the purpose, verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. So what, we've mentioned this before, what is a simple person? The definition is they are unpleaded. That's basically what the word means. Some of you at some time have maybe had a sports jacket that had pleats in it. Probably every lady at some time has had maybe a skirt that had pleats. And it was just kind of a permanent bend in the skirt, or maybe a jacket, pleated. When we're first born and we first start living, our life is pretty smooth. Very few experiences. And that's why when a young man starts to preach, he has very few stories. Yeah, I remember I was 15. Well, I remember yesterday. I don't have any stories. The older you get, the more stories you have. Things you did, things you should have done, things you shouldn't have done, things that happened, dangerous things, blessings. The older you are, you got lots of stories. Why? You're pleaded. A lot of experiences. So Solomon says the simple person is young. They don't have any experiences in life yet. They can't say, man, when I was in my 30s. You see, so who is the simple one in Scripture? It's the youth. The youth. It doesn't give the age, but we would imagine someone probably under age 20, the youth. We would call them naive. That's a hard word to spell. I have no idea how to spell it. I've seen it and I never can pronounce it in print. Naive. Looks like Navayate or something with a couple dashes on top. Naive. We would also use the word gullible. Gullible. That's the kid at camp you tell weird stories to and they run through the woods looking for a snipe or something. That's the kid they're supposed to, we're having an all-night prayer meeting tonight. Now you start, you just kneel right here and then everybody's in bed. And they just believe every word, they believe everything people tell them. If it's on the news, it's true. If it's in a book, it's true. If it's in a magazine, as you check out of the store, aliens land in Roswell again. 90-year-old woman has baby. If it's in print, it's true. They're gullible. That's who buys those magazines. 72-pound baby born in Portland. What? You ever see those weird magazines? You know, Esquire. But people buy those things. Unpleaded, gullible, simple-minded, easily trapped. Hello, we've been trying to reach you all day. You have won $1 billion. One of your uncles has died and left you this money. He's been trying to find you. All we need is your bank and account information, PIN number, to deposit the money in your account. People give all that information. And the next day, somehow, all their money's gone. Why? Simple. Simple. So the whole book of Proverbs is to make us not simple, experienced, wise, cautious. A simple person would easily fall into sin, maybe be seduced by the opposite gender, their money taken, their identity taken, go to a dangerous place, try drugs, try alcohol, do something dangerous because of a lot of dares. Just simple. Now, who else would be simple? Here's this. A new Christian. How many times have you invited someone to church? They came, they got saved, they just loved it. 2 weeks later, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses have been stopping by. What? I've been letting them in because they have Bibles. I want to know the Bible. Pretty soon some cults got them. Well, they found something online and now they're believing something weird. Why? They're simple. So that's why we cannot stay simple. We have to help our children, help those we influence, not to stay simple or they'll end up trapped, they'll end up hurt. Give subtlety or wisdom or cunningness to the simple. And then the second person mentioned is the wise person. There it is in your notes. That's someone that teaches God's principles and learns God's principles and practices God's principles. Notice it says in verse number 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom. And then it says, verse 5, a wise man will hear. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord, that means respect, is the beginning of knowledge. And so a wise person is totally opposite than a simple person. And then the third one mentioned is the fool. He is mentioned much in the book of Proverbs. It'll say the fool or the foolish. And if you want to just look at your little notes there, it's one who is a know-it-all. They can't be taught, they already know it all. He is defiant. He is unteachable. He is set in his ways, uncontrollable, and doesn't learn from his mistakes. So that means this, as we're going through this, each of us will be around these people. It is our job to figure out in our mind, and that's not judging, that's discernment. Today, I pulled over on the side of the road and I saw this real souped up Corvette Stingray just passed, doing about 90. You say, that's judging. No, I know what a Corvette Stingray looked. It was a Corvette Stingray. And so, as we're around relatives and coworkers and neighbors and friends, we need to determine, are they simple? Do they just need teaching and instruction? Are they a fool? Are they set in their way? No one, Solomon couldn't even knock on their door and teach them anything. They already know everything. Who's ever worked a job where you were supposed to train the new hire, but they knew more than you? Anybody had a job like that? I have. You couldn't tell them a thing. Foolish. And then there's one other one. The scorner is also mentioned in the book of Proverbs. The scorner. That is a fool, but he is a recruiting fool. He's not just stubborn and doesn't and thinks he knows it all. He is recruiting others to his mischief. He would be the ringleader. And the word scorner means laugher. So he might be the life of the party, but he'd be the one, maybe during a sermon, to say something that's funny, but sacrilegious. He would be the one that would make fun of someone trying to live for the Lord. He would be the one that would find something dirty in something clean that is said. The scorner. But the reason he's such a leader is he is fun to be around. That would be the sitcoms, the comedies on television, many of them, where the actors, they curse, they use dirty language, shady language, dirty talk, but they're so good at it, it's very humorous to others and it draws followers to them. Okay, let's keep going here. We'll come up with some. So a laughing fool recruits others, makes fun of those who do right. So let's talk about the simple. We'll shoot some verses up in a moment. A simple person just doesn't know. They just don't know. They're young. They haven't been taught, never thought about it. So let's look at some of these verses that the Bible talks about, these three characters, okay? The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So what does a simple person need? He needs God's word. He needs to have daily devotions. He needs to read the word of God and see it for himself. He's heard stuff, but he just doesn't know. He just needs to be taught. The Bible turns a simple person into a wise person. Here's another verse about the simple. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning? And fools, God is crying out saying, how long are you going to stay simple? How long are you going to be gullible? How long? You don't have to be. That's what he's saying. Here's another one. I think another verse. Here it is. I beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youth, a young man void of understanding. Proverbs 7 is when the seducing woman sees him just wandering down the street, no schedule, out late at night, and she says, hey, my husband's gone. Why don't you drop in tonight? And so she seduced. He's simple. He doesn't know how that's going to turn out. He doesn't see the end of the road. Here's another verse. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. This is, as for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him. That's when wisdom is personified. Wisdom is saying, you want understanding? I got it for you. It's wisdom. And so there's that. Here's a couple other. The simple believeth every word. That's where we get that they're gullible. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. Now, let me just encourage you here. We cannot be simple in this way. That means we believe every gossip we hear. Well, so-and-so posted something, must be true. Really? Well, it was in the USA Today, must be true. Really? Did you hear about our Supreme Court justice who said there was 100,000 small children on ventilators right now with COVID? Way off. But that made all the news, and they had a hard time retracting it. See, a lot of times, foolish and scornful people, they'll make a statement, it blows up everywhere, and they're off on their details, but when they retract it, they print a little microscopic retraction, and it's on the back page of the newspaper. So you cannot be simple. Well, who said this? And where do they get their information? And who says that's true just because one person says it? We cannot be simple. You've heard of this. You've heard of realtors advertising a house, maybe even showing the house to someone and saying, all right, today is a special. If we get a down payment, it's yours. Well, they shimmied their way into the house. They're not even representing the house. They're not even selling the house. Heard about a fella. He was a thief, and he wrote a book called Catch Me If You Can. I think there was a movie made about him. And he talked about all the ways that he stole money from people. He stood in front of a ATM machine and rented a uniform, had a badge on. Hey, the machine's broke. So here's this metal box. It's got locks on it. Make all your cash deposits right here today. Oh, okay. And people just put all these cash deposits in this box. After several hours, he picks the box up. He leaves. He's got thousands of dollars, but he looked official. See, a simple person's got to say, this doesn't look right. What? And how come this house is going so low? And why do I have to have a cash deposit? It can't be just a check or a cashier's check. And how come your name doesn't match? When I call the number on the sign, it doesn't match. See what I'm saying? Boy, you just have to be so careful. Okay, what else here? Next. Smite a scorner and the simple will beware. What he's saying, if you're in leadership, whether it's the government, the judge, the DA, when a scorner, someone that's done something foolish and they deserve to get spanked, the simple sees, wow, look what happened to him. He got 5 years prison. I'm not doing that. He learns from it. So when a nation arrests criminals and lets them just go right out the door, simple-minded people and scorners are thinking, crime pays. Crime pays. So there's no bail. You do the crime, you don't have to pay, the jails are full, I'm not going to have to pay for this. In Ecclesiastes it says, because sentence was not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men was set on doing evil continually. That's why capital punishment is the right thing to do in a nation, for major crimes especially, rape, kidnapping, murder. It ought to be done. So here we go. Next. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. Still talking about the simple. He just doesn't know. Next. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. So a wise or a prudent man says, I see how this is going to turn out evil. The simple guy doesn't see it, and he just falls into all this trouble and mischief. Do we have any more on the simple? Yep. How long, you simple ones? All right, how about the next one? Okay, so wise, simple, fool. Okay, here's some verses on the wise. The greatest thing about a wise person is he desires to know. He really wants to know. My pastor, Brother Smith, used to always, anytime we'd speak together, he'd say, Mike was a teenager, and he always had these questions. Why, Brother Smith? He'd preach on liquor. Why is it wrong? He said he wasn't rebellious, talking about me, but he just wanted to know. A wise person just wants to know the reason. And then you have to, if it's shown to you in the Bible, you have to be okay with it. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do, well, here's all the verses. Ooh, wow. Never thought of that. What a secretary here years ago, long before I became the pastor, and I taught on a certain subject. After the service, she said, always knew what you were talking about. It was wrong, but I never knew why till tonight. So there it is. Wise man will hear. Here's another one. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. The ant is working without supervision. The ant's working all the time. You say, no, they don't. You ever seen a sleeping ant? I never have. You ever seen an ant laying on his side with his little hands doing that? Yeah, anyway, okay, trying to be funny. Next. Hear instruction and be wise. That's why sometimes in church I'll say, look up here, stop texting, look here, look. Why? Because if someone is not listening, they're not going to get it. What else? Next. Wise. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. And what in the world does that mean? It means if someone's wise, just, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. And here's why. That's sufficient. A fool, you got to beat him 100 times with a whip and he still won't change. Okay. Moving right along. I can tell we're about to start speaking in tongues any minute. Someone's going to just launch out of the pew. Okay. Next. Wise. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. A wise person says, I'm not going to listen to these people anymore. They always get me off track. Next. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. It's wise to try to lead others to Christ. And as you're trying to lead others to Christ, you're becoming wise because you're learning how to deal with different types of people. Next, wise people. They want to know. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. You get around wise people, it'll rub off. Next, through wisdom is a house builded. How does someone build a marriage? They have to have wisdom. How they build up their kids? Wisdom. How they build up a ministry? Wisdom. Next. Okay, now let's talk about the fool for a moment. Just some character traits of a fool. They disdain those who know because the fool thinks he already knows. Don't tell me, I already know. You ever try to teach a kid how to tie a shoe? I already know, leave me alone. You ever let a kid sit on your lap when you're the parent driving I want to drive. Anyway, okay. Here we go. So the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So we could start right there in our school system. So here's a professor standing up saying, a big boom happened. There is no God. The Bible's not true. There is no creation. He's a fool. A little five-year-old that learns Jesus loves me, this I know, in our Sunday school knows more than that professor who thinks there's no God. You know, it's interesting. The atheists, We're protesting because we have Easter, we have Christmas for the Christians, all these holidays, and they were saying, we deserve a holiday too. Someone said, okay, you can have April 1st. Okay, here we go. Next. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. They don't want to hear church. They don't want to hear sermons. They don't want to hear lectures. That's a sign they're foolish. Next. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. What is a slander? Criticizing something, saying something about someone that may not even be true, but it's going to hurt that person. God says a fool is constantly saying things like that. Next. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. He's always in trouble, always looking for something to do. Next. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You ever try to correct someone and they were always right. That's why sometimes marriages, if one of the mates is a foolish person, you can't change them. They're always right. That's why they never say, I'm sorry, because they're never wrong. I mean, 50 years of marriage, never say I'm sorry. Why? Because I'm always right. Wow, good. Okay, wonderful. Next, he that walketh, okay, with wise men. Next, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Here's another one. All these character traits of a fool. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. So, what I'm told, I've never plucked a chicken. I've never murdered a chicken. I never have. And never have done that. Years ago, a pastor had on Easter Sunday, they gave away a little chick to every kid that rode the bus. You know, little chicks. Not chicklets, but baby chicken, chick. That's what you call them, right? Chicks. Chicks. And back then, you could buy them, and they were colored. They were dyed. They were purple and green, and I don't know how they did that, but, I mean, there were all these colors. So they bought hundreds and probably thousands of them. Each kid that rode the bus got a chick. Well, someone called Cruelty to Animal Service, if they had that, called on the pastor, and the pastor had to go to court. And the judge, is it true that you gave these little irresponsible kids that didn't even know how to raise a little chicken, and you gave each of them a free chicken on your bus? Yes, sir. Well, what do you have to say? Then the pastor, smart aleck, he said, well, judge, I got to be real honest. I did something a lot worse than that. I ate their mother for lunch. But I remember years ago, I was visiting this house, and this woman had a cage, and she had this bird. She goes, oh, you've got to come see our pet bird. It was like some type of parakeet. I don't know, was it a lovebird, cockatiel or something? Oh, you got to come see. Oh, I just love it so much. And they had a light bulb in the cage, and I'm walking over there. I've never seen anything as disgusting in my life. I've seen birds, and I love birds. But I came in, and that bird didn't have a feather, not one. It looked like it had just hatched. You've seen them before. I mean, no feathers, just skin and bones, like it was a fryer in the deep freeze. And here is that bird. It doesn't have one feather. And I'm holding back the laughter like, this is your pet? What kind of bird is this? Oh, it's got this strange disease. And it plucks its feathers off. I mean, with the beak, it just pulls every one of its own feathers off. And it's just standing there shivering because it doesn't have any feathers on it. So they had to have a light bulb in the cage. Would you pray for our bird? I mean, I'm having a hard time being real sincere. Pray it dies. Pray it tastes good when you eat it. What am I supposed to pray for? But I got to thinking, it had feathers. And it plucked them all off. One at a time, till it looked very sad and ugly. God says, a wise woman builds her house. She doesn't pluck her house down. Well, here's something else you did wrong. Here's something else you're not good at. Some of us, even as we grew up, maybe we had a parent, or maybe we had a sibling, or we had someone at school that instead of building us up, they plucked, by their comments, one feather at a time. A wise person builds others up. And so we see the fool plucks. It's always negative. No one can do anything right. Number next, says the wisdom of prudence, the understanding of his way, the folly of fools is deceit. A fool is also deceitful. They're going to be a liar. They'll deceive. They may tell half-truths. They're going to be sneaky. because they're doing wrong and they're not going to try to get caught. What else? What else on a fool? We have a couple others. Every wise woman builds their house. Okay, we've already seen that one. Next, wisdom of the prudent is understanding his way. The folly of fools is deceit. Okay, we've got that one. Fools make a mock at sin. The word mock there means laughter. You ever mock someone when you were young, especially a sibling? Give me that. Give me that. I said right now. Stop it. Don't repeat me. And it just kind of builds. The Bible says a fool laughs or mocks at sin. That's what primetime television tries to do. They try to make these shows so funny. Now we're laughing at the guy who's drunk. Drunkenness. He's losing respect. He's losing his health. He might be losing his marriage. And now we're laughing. I remember years ago, they had a famous comedian or actor named Richard Pryor. And he came to Napa to make an appearance. They were filming a downtown movie. And I never saw his movies, but I heard oftentimes he would say cuss words in the movie. And I remember hearing one person say, man, I stood there all day hoping he would say this blank, blank, blank word. I just couldn't wait till he said that cuss word. I wanted to hear him. He's so funny. If we can get laughing at sin, one day the devil can get us practicing that sin. So fools will laugh at sin. Sin is a shame. It breaks hearts. It's wicked. Number next, I think we're almost done here. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. One of the greatest ways to spot a fool is by his words. It'll come out. Get around a fool long enough, and you hear him start talking, and you know they're a fool. Number next, a fool despiseth his father's instruction. Never did get along with my dad. Never did get along with my mom. Then they get hired at a job. Never could get along with my boss. Never could get along with my pastor. They never could get along with anybody trying to lead them. What else? Next. Understanding is a wellspring life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. There it is again. Unteachable. Is that the last verse? Okay. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse, crooked in his lips, and is a fool. Any more verses we have there? Okay. Foolishness is bound, this is important, in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from them. What's that mean? It is normal for children to do foolish things. I heard someone giving a lecture one time. They said, and I walked into the kitchen as I saw my child with the lizard's tail sticking out of his mouth as he swallowed. Kids will eat Drano. They will eat bugs. They will run into the street. I still remember as a child, my parents should have beat me half to death, but they just weren't home much. I remember riding my Stingray bike. There was a 18-wheeler truck parked on the side of the road next to the highway. I said, "What's this?" I just ducked my head, rode right under the 18-wheeler across four lanes of traffic. Didn't get hit. Foolish. I still remember as a teenager, we thought it'd be cool to put these flashing barricades on the assistant pastor's roof of his house. We only borrowed three of them. It was raining. They were in the station wagon with all these bright lights. We're now climbing on top of the roof of the assistant pastor to deposit these barricades when he came out with a pistol. He was legally blind. He couldn't see very far, but here it was. Whoever it is, stop right now. I mean, he has got a gun. Later on, we found out it was a BB gun, but still a gun was a gun. I'm glad we didn't get shot that night. What were we doing? Something foolish. Maybe we weren't fools, but we were heading that way. What else? As a dog returneth to his vomit. And we're going to probably leave you with this verse right before supper tonight. So doth a fool return to his folly. What's that mean? Not trying to be too gross. If you've ever seen your animal get sick, maybe regurgitate. Oh, little Fido's sick. We better get a towel and go wipe it up. And then you come back and you say, it ain't there anymore. What happened to it? I'm not going to go into details. So he made a mess. And it wasn't long before he came right back to that same mess. What's that mean? A fool will make a major mess and never learn from it. Man, I've been weaseled out of $1 million 5 different times. Why'd it take 5 times? Is that the last verse? He that trusteth in his heart is a fool. Well, I just got to be true to myself. Here's how I feel. A fool will follow his heart instead of scriptures. A fool uttereth all his mind. Any other verses? Well, a lot of verses on the fool. A dream cometh through, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. I think we'll stop right there. We're about out of time. And then at the conclusion here, so what is our responsibility toward these three? One, toward the simple, we are to teach. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have discipleship. That's why we are friends. That's why parents may have children, and they're to teach them. Second, toward the wise, we're to encourage them. Wise people, we're to encourage. And then fools, the Bible says in Proverbs 26, forsake the foolish and live. You will never see in Scripture someone that was described as an all-out fool that ever changed and became a wise person. They were pretty well set by that time. A lot of wisdom in the book of Proverbs. And this is just the introduction. We'll be going verse by verse and topic by topic in weeks to come. I'm so glad you're here. Father, bless this time. Thank you for the attentiveness of people online and people in person tonight.